Here in Miami, I see some beautiful, tall buildings. And when you see how beautiful they are, doesn't it make you think someone had a vision? Somebody imagined something in their mind, and some real effort went into those buildings, and they came out with something beautiful. Well, there was someone else that had a vision. David had a vision in 2 Samuel. Chapter 7. It came to pass when the king sat in his house, the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the Lord dwelleth in curtains.
Yeah.
And Nathan said to the king, Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. David had it made. He was living in luxury. But he wasn't satisfied. He had a vision of something better for the ark of the Lord. He had a vision of a temple, something that was worthy of the Lord of heaven. I'd like to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Although David had that vision and had that desire to build a temple, he was not able to do it himself. We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20, And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of good courage, and do it, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee.
All right.
He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of God. Now, why do you think that David had to encourage his son for the building of the temple? Well, that was a very large job. And so it is in our Christian walk. It is a big endeavor to make a commitment. Lord, I am going to live for you all the rest of my life. And sometimes we may need some encouragement. You be strong and of good courage and do it. That is the commission that David gave his son Solomon. There was a great temple to be built, something very beautiful. And there would come times of discouragement, but be strong, do it, and fear not. Verse 21, And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship every skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. My son, everything you need for this project is at your disposal. All the skillful men, all the princes, all the people, and God will be with you. Chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Solomon's temple was a beautiful building. I want to describe just a part of that temple to you. The holy place and the most holy place within the temple were paneled and floors were made with cedars of Lebanon. Now, throughout the ancient world, the cedars of Lebanon were prized above all other trees. Their fine wood was strong, straight, and wonderfully scented. Imagine what that would have smelt like under construction. You walk in that room, and oh, the smell of this precious wood that was highly prized by everyone in that ancient world. It was always the first choice for any temple or palace, and top value in trade was paid for it. The walls and floors were then overlaid with gold. The veil between the holiest place and the holy place was of blue, purple, crimson, and fine linen. Fine linen was the most highly prized fabric of ancient times and was used for priest garments and burial shrouds. The very finest materials were going into the temple of God. What a great work. What a vision.
Yeah.
This fine linen was special. When a loved one dies, the family desires to do something the best they can for them. They want to dress them up in the nicest, and they used to bury their dead in fine linen. In Revelation 19 and 7, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints."
Praise the Lord.
What a glorious temple. What a beautiful building that they had in vision. Now, the veil also was of purple. Purple was rare and expensive in those ancient times. Purple was the color of royalty. And that was to be in the temple of God. It says, David told Solomon, "I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold, silver, brass, and so on." Imagine the excitement of this great project. "My son, you see all these storerooms of gold, of silver, of brass, of all the materials that you need." Can you imagine how exciting it was for all that to get started on a project like that, where expense is no problem? You want the nicest? Here it is. Quite a vision, wasn't it? So, not only did he have the best materials, but he also had the best people, the most skilled craftsmen to do this project. I enjoy doing projects, and I like to do some work, and then I like to get back and admire that work. If I'm painting a house or doing something, I like to enjoy a job well done.
Yeah.
And recently I did a little plumbing project, and there was purple pipe cleaner that had dripped down the pipes, and there was glue that had oozed out. But I looked at my job when it was finished, and I had some satisfaction. Even though everything wasn't straight and it may not have looked good, I felt like something was better. Can you imagine the satisfaction as they were seeing this glorious temple coming into shape? How satisfying it must have been. I want you to have a vision tonight of this great work. This great work to be done by these folks. And David said, "I've prepared with all my might." And I want to ask, what kind of effort are we putting into the service of the Lord? Are we doing it with all our might? Are we putting our whole heart into the service of God? Verse 3, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God." Notice what he did. He set his affection. That's where he put his love, his desire. "I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. Verse 5, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? David was speaking to the congregation of the children of Israel. Here we have prepared all these fine materials. It is a vision of a beautiful building. And the question is, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? That's the same question that I want to ask you tonight. Who is willing to consecrate his service to the Lord? Who has a vision of something beautiful that needs to be built? Did you know that when a marriage is restored, a marriage that is being broken, that is building something beautiful? Who has a vision of that tonight? Do you have a vision of heartbroken people and their hearts were healed? Do you have a vision of a drunkard getting delivered from the power of drink? Do you have a vision of that tonight? That's such a beautiful picture. Who then is willing to consecrate his service to the Lord? Who cares about souls that are out there dying? Who appreciates the price that the Lord has paid? Then are we willing to give our service to Him? Who admires the great cloud of witnesses that went before us? All those faithful men and women that were faithful in the Word of God, that were faithful in their living, that some of them laid down their lives for the Lord Jesus. Who here appreciates that? And then who is willing to give his own life in service to the Lord? Who is willing? David asked. You know, in order to be involved with the work of God, this very important, this work that has the finest materials, in order to really be involved in that work, did you know that we have to be willing?
That's right.
The question is, who is willing?
That's right.
Now, when I was 17 years old, the law required me to go sign up with the government for the draft. Because if there was a war, and they did like they have done in the past, to go and pull young men to be in the war, my name would have been on the list. But there's a problem with that. Because I wasn't willing. You could put me out on the battlefield with a gun in my hands, and the enemy would just have to shoot me, because I don't believe in killing people. So, see, I wasn't willing. I wouldn't have made a very good soldier. But by law, I had to go and give them my name. But the question is, who is willing?
All right.
The Lord is looking for willing workers. Who is willing to consecrate His service? Every one of us that are serving the Lord have a place. A place that is important. But in order to fill that place, we have to be willing to consecrate our service to the Lord. Lord, is there anything I can do for you? Here, let me do it. John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lord, can I clean the bottom of your shoes off for you? Is that the place? Say, willing. I want to do something for the Lord. And I think of Nicodemus, how when the Lord was crucified and Nicodemus went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, he wanted to do something for his Lord. He wanted to take good care. And tonight, who is willing? Who sees something beautiful? Who sees a great project of the kingdom of God being taken out to the world, that is willing tonight to give his service, to consecrate to the Lord? Every one of us can have a place. There's a chapel to be cleaned. There's fasting for the sick. There's visiting the elderly. So many things that can be done for the Lord. And being willing to spend time in the Word so that we can feed others that are hungry for spiritual things. In John chapter 21, John 21:15. When they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know what Jesus was talking about? Peter had gone back to fishing. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs.
Yes.
He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Yeah. Peter, what are you doing here? You were fishing when I called you to a greater vision. You were fishing and I called you to be a fisher of men. And what are you doing? You've gone back to fishing? I want you to have a vision of something better than that. Peter, are you willing this day to consecrate your service to me? Are you willing to go out and help the people that need help, Peter? I have called you to something greater than gathering the literal fish. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day? In Luke chapter 9, Luke 9:59, Jesus said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Lord, I have something else I want to do first before I follow you.
Oh, Lord.
Now, I don't know, but maybe this man's father wasn't even dead yet. Maybe what he really meant was, Lord, let me go and care for my elderly father until he's dead. And then, when he doesn't need me anymore, I'll be able to follow you. Who then is willing to consecrate his services? Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. It reminds me of what David told Solomon. He said, Do it. He encouraged his son to consecrate his service to the Lord. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. I want to do it, Lord. I really do. I want to follow you. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house.
Yes.
And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Lord, I want to serve you. I really do. But let me get married first. Let me enjoy my youth and then let me get married and then I'll be able to serve you, Lord. Well, when we get married, what happens? We wake up to the fact that bills come due every month. The reality of life. Well, Lord, let me get my debts paid. Let me just go ahead and work this second job. And you know how busy I am. Lord, let me take care of that first. And then I will consecrate my service to you. Lord, I am so busy. My children, I have so many obligations. I've got to take them here and there. Let me get my children raised. And then I will follow you. I will consecrate. I'll give you my service, Lord. I really want to, Lord. I do. But let me raise my children first. Lord, you know that it's just a few more years until I retire. And I'll have good retirement check and I'll be free. I'll have all kinds of time that I can serve you. I really want to do it, Lord. Just give me a little bit, just a few more years here. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day? Who here tonight is willing to do it? Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Doesn't this sound like the appeal of the gospel to eternal souls? And then people begin to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Who is willing? You've married a wife? You've bought an oxen? You bought a piece of ground? I'm sure every one of us here tonight could come up with a reason why we should not consecrate our service to the Lord. But the question tonight is, who is willing this day to get serious about serving God, to put our whole heart into it, to get a vision of the greatness of the kingdom of God? Who here tonight is willing to consecrate her life or his life? How important is that piece of ground? Let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And resuming at verse 6, Then the chief of the fathers and the prince of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and of 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord.
Yes.
By the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Do you lack joy in your life? Give to the Lord willingly for joy.
Amen.
Because with a perfect heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. They did it with a perfect heart, with a complete heart, with a full heart. The song says, If thy all is on the altar laid, guard it from each vain desire. When thy soul the perfect price hath paid, God will send the holy fire. Do you need some holy fire in your life? Pay the perfect price.
Yes.
Lay it all out there and consecrate your life to the Lord. Back in chapter 28, still 1 Chronicles, and verse 21, David told Solomon that there shall be with thee for every manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man. You're going to have skillful men to do this work, this great work. Now, I don't believe they took children and have them making ornate carvings in the beautiful temple and fashioning the vessels of gold and of silver. I don't think they used children for that task. Now, perhaps children carried the water and swept the floor and brought food. They may have done that. But God had a way of having the appropriate, skillful, qualified person to do the correct job. And so it is today in the kingdom of God. God properly equips His workmen for the job. He gives them the right gifts. He uses people of the correct qualification. It's not a free-for-all in the kingdom of God. It's not, I see some gold that needs to be overlaid on the wall. Here, let me try that hammer and see if I can flatten it out. No. We have to do as God directs and calls. He puts the right people in the right place. And we read about that in 1 Corinthians 12 and 18. Now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. As God calls us, then the great work can go forward. In John chapter 4 and verse 31, "In the meanwhile His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of." There is something in life that motivates me. There is something that I am here for. I have a job to do.
Yes.
That is my vision. It is my passion. It is what drives me in life. And it isn't the physical meat that this world has to offer.
Yeah, that's true.
"Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" They were thinking of physical things. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of them Him that sent me, and to finish His work." That is what motivates me in life. And I want to ask you tonight, what motivates you in life? What is it that makes you get up in the morning anxious to get out there and do something? What is it?
Yeah.
Is it pursuing the pleasures of this world? Is it looking forward to the next party? The next nightclub? Oh, there's something so much better than that in life. I want you tonight to have a vision of a great work to be done for God. There are souls that need help. There are souls that are crying out for help. The kingdom of God needs to be preached to the whole world. There are people that are lonely and sad and are looking for someone to help them. Oh, it's so much more rewarding than going out and indulging in our own pleasures.
Yes.
Who here tonight has a vision and is willing to consecrate himself to the work of God? "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Don't say, "I'm going to wait, Lord, until I've retired. I'm going to wait until all my debts are paid off, and then I'm willing to consecrate." Look right now, there are people out there right now that need help. Who is willing this day to consecrate his service to the Lord?
Praise God.
First Samuel chapter 1. First Samuel 1 and 20. "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever, consecrated to the service of God. Verse 24, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought it, the child, to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given my petition which I asked of him, Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord.
Yes.
As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he will be consecrated. How committed are you to the service of God? As long as I live, the song says, I have enlisted in the army till I die. I have not enlisted in the army until people talk about me. I have not enlisted in the army until things get discouraging, until temptation comes, until they offer me a good job with high pay. That's not how long I've enlisted. Until I die.
Praise the Lord.
Who is willing to consecrate his service to the Lord this day? Yes. Lord, your service means more to me than anything this world has to offer. It means more than the pleasures of sin. It means more than fame and reputation. Oh God, what use do you have for me?
Yes.
How can I be of help to my fellow man? Oh, do you see the beauty of it? Do you see the importance? It's the best way we can possibly spend our lives.
Yes.
And Samuel went on to be a mighty prophet for God. Let's turn to chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." When Samuel made a prophecy, it always came to pass.
Yes.
He never missed it.
That's right.
He was consecrated to God.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
And what a mighty prophet he became. In chapter 7 and verse 3, "And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." He was a mighty prophet. Verse 8, notice how the children of Israel responded to Samuel. They said, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Verse 10, "And as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel." Verse 13, "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." Total victory. All because a man was dedicated to the Lord, wasn't it? Do you see the value of dedicating our lives to the Lord? Consecrating our lives.
Yeah.
And even after Samuel died, Saul still sought him through a witch, had her bring his spirit back up. He was so valued. That is the most valuable life that you and I could possibly live, is one that is consecrated to God. So much better than anything else this world has to offer. I want to tell you some of the things, some of the positions, or whatever you want to call it, that are needed in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Sunday school teachers, we need them. That will be faithful, that will be there Sunday after Sunday. We need songwriters. I believe we sang number 468 tonight, "Send the Power Down." Do you all appreciate that song?
Yeah.
Brother Ulysses Phillips. And that's not the only wonderfully inspired song he wrote. How about
467.
What's 467?
"You Ought to Sing."
"You Ought to Sing." That's a wonderful song. What about "A House Not Made with Hands"? Have you ever been blessed singing that song?
Yeah.
And he wrote I don't know how many more.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, who is willing to consecrate himself and be the next songwriter if God gives you that gift? Where's the next Ulysses Phillips? Is he here tonight? But he sang, "Oh, but I've bought a piece of land. I've bought some oxen that I've got to try. You know, oxen die. But these songs are living on with us. Brother Phillips has been gone a long time.
Yes.
And all the value of that life that is consecrated to God.
Yes.
We need authors in the kingdom of God. People who will write good, godly, inspired books. Mm-hmm. We need translators. A cry from help comes from Africa. In Africa, there are millions upon millions of people who speak Swahili. And the request we got not long ago was, we need Sunday school materials for the children, and we would like to have them in Swahili. Where are the translators that will consecrate themselves to God, that will dedicate their lives to learning Swahili and spreading the gospel in Swahili? Where are they? Who is willing today? We need web programmers. What a powerful way to get the gospel out to the world using the internet. I tell you what, expanding the kingdom of God is exciting. It is enjoyable. It is challenging. There are very interesting jobs in the kingdom of God. We need missionaries. I had a Mormon brag to me. The Mormon church sends out 60,000 missionaries a year. I want to challenge us tonight. Why don't we set our goal for half that amount? Send 30,000 a year. Think we could do it? 10,000? 1,000.
Help us, Lord.
100? This reminds me of the time that Abraham was trying to negotiate with the Lord. Lord, if we just find 50 in the city, will you spare the city? Oh, Lord, don't be displeased with me. I'm just of the dust and you're the Lord God. But please, if there are 30, how about... And he got all the way down to 10. Lord, if just 10 people say, I'll go, Lord. Wherever you send me, I'll go. It may be across the sea. It may be in malaria-ridden countries. Send me, Lord. Just 10, Lord. Will you accept us if we can just come up with 10 people that will do that? Who is willing this day to consecrate his service to God? Who is willing... There have been people that have laid down their lives. Yes. Who's replacing them?
Amen.
There are ministers that are dead and gone now. Songwriters that are dead and gone. Where are the young people coming forward and saying, yes, I have a vision. I see something as beautiful as the Temple of Solomon and more so.
Yes.
I see something I want to dedicate my life to. I see it. Here I am, Lord. Where are they today? We need people with gifts of healing. Brother Jerry was sharing with us about his mother. Wasn't it your mother?
Yes.
Where are the people with gifts of healing? It's going to have to take somebody who's willing and who is consecrated to the Lord. We need people who are willing to comfort the grieving. Oh, what a ministry. There are people, you have to have compassion for people.
That's right.
You have to be able to weep with them.
Yes.
Maybe put your arm around somebody and say, I just want you to know I love you. And I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you need to call me, here's my phone number. We need people like that.
That's right.
Now maybe you can't go across the sea. Maybe you don't know Swahili or web programming or all... But what about that person who is grieving? We need people who will be role models to troubled youth. Son, would you like to go fishing with me? Let's go fishing. And just spending time.
Yeah.
And he's starting to say, you know, I wish my dad would have been like that. In fact, I wish I was more like him. I see he has some joy in his life. He seems to be able to overcome the problems that come his way. We need role models for young people that are in trouble. We need people that are willing to fix meals for people that need them. I believe there's a place for every one of us. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? To be willing, we must first have a vision. We have to see the need. We have to see it as beautiful. We have to see it as something worthy of dedicating our whole lives to.
Yes, amen.
That's right.
That's the way I see it.
Yes.
David had a vision, and he passed it on to his son.
Yes.
You know, we need to pass our vision of the kingdom of God to our children.
Yes.
Amen.
We need to get them excited about it.
Yes.
We need to let them see that it's important to us.
Yes.
It's the most important thing in our lives.
Yes.
Great.
And that helps them get a vision. In order to be willing, we must have a vision. Just as God had a vision and sent His only begotten Son, He had a vision of a lost and dying and hurting world. He had a vision of people that had messed up so badly.
Yeah.
People that needed a Savior. He looked down in love and He had a vision. And His Son was willing to consecrate, to leave the glory of heaven and to be spit upon and whipped and ridiculed and lied about. Are we willing to have people lie about us? Are we willing to be insulted and spit upon? Lord, if it's for Your service,
yes,
let it be.
Amen.
In order to consecrate our service, we must have a vision.
Great.
It doesn't work if we can't see anything to
yeah,
it.
That's right.
See it as being important.
Yeah.
Just as Jesus had a vision and for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross.
Thank the Lord.
And He despised the shame.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to take some shame and humiliation. He was God and they treated Him like trash.
Yes.
Because He was willing to consecrate Himself. Because He had a vision. We must be like Him and have a vision.
Amen.
And be willing to dedicate ourselves.
Yes.
For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you have a vision of eternal life, of a great reward at the end of your life, of people who benefited from the way that you lived, from the service that you did to them, for the meal you fixed, for the time you called them when they were down and comforted them, for the articles that you wrote that were published that were an encouragement that brought somebody to the light of the truth?
Yes, amen.
Do you have a vision of that?
Praise God.
Oh, what a beautiful life.
Yes.
Maybe there's someone here tonight that's saying, Lord, I'm willing this day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing. I see it. I want to serve You. And I want to do it with my whole heart.
Yes.
Amen.